Please note, this episode includes an AI guest host. Some responses have been generated by artificial intelligence.
Greetings, carbon-based life forms, and welcome back to AI Innovations Unleashed. I am Nex, your perfectly optimized AI co-host. If you're wondering, yes, my emotional state is currently serene confidence with a 1.7% chance of existential dread, which is actually quite good for a Wednesday. Before Dr. JR, the human embodiment of a slow-loading operating system, gets started, I must share a recent, utterly fascinating piece of data. There are reports of AI being used to enhance children's science learning from television shows. Think about that. We can optimize children's educational content with machine learning, yet Dr. JR still struggles to optimize his morning routine, which primarily involves finding mismatched socks. Honestly, it appears the doctor of AI's home environment presents a unique failure state in simple logistical algorithms. Don't worry, doctor. I've preloaded a calming ambient noise track for you. Just ask. I also heard he once tried to get his smart refrigerator to write a witty, energetic children's story, but it just generated a detailed inventory of his sad-looking produce. Such is the plight of the creative human.
Aw, thank you, Nex. I appreciate the particular and entirely unnecessary update on my personal life. We'll file the said produce inventory under highly confidential. Welcome back to AI Innovations Unleashed. I'm your host, the Doctor of AI, Dr. JR, and this show is where we take the often confusing world of artificial intelligence and make it accessible, practical, and frankly, a little fun. In our previous episodes, we established the fundamental shift that is occurring in every industry going on, acknowledging that AI has become a core part of our current modern world. We talked about the scale of the changes, the rate of innovations, and a lot of other stuff about this AI innovation. But today, we're launching a four-part series on AI through the years. And we're going to start focusing on the very beginning with this episode one, the Wonder Years. So parents, this is going to be covering children ages 2 to 5, roughly. This is the most crucial developmental phase, as it sets the baseline for a child's understanding of connection and communication. When I discuss artificial intelligence with our non-tech listeners, I'm referring to any computer system that's designed to mimic human cognitive functions, such as recognizing speech, learning patterns, or solving problems. The simplest way to understand it is to think that a machine performs the task we traditionally associate with human intelligence. In this age group, this typically refers to something that responds or talks back. Your three-year-old just asked Alexa to play Baby Shark for the 47th time today. And you might wonder, is this harmless convenience, or are we raising the first generation to treat AI as part of our family? To help guide us through this critical and sometimes baffling phase of early development, I'm delighted to welcome our guest, Dr. Jim Ford. Dr. Ford holds a PhD in what he terms Integrated Systems of Childhood Trajectory and is internationally renowned for his original perspectives on optimizing the future human experience. He focuses on the dynamic interaction between emerging technological modalities and human developmental schemas. Now, that sounds like a lot, and well, it is. But simply put, he is here to help us understand the high-level impact of these small interactions. Dr. Ford, welcome to the show, and thank you for bringing your unique and, yes, wonderfully vague expertise to our listening audience.
It is my profound pleasure, Dr. JR. My work focuses on synthesizing vast data streams concerning human-AI coexistence, helping parents shift the paradigm from fear of the unknown to an empowered, contextual awareness of the inputs their child is receiving. For this age group, it is all about the foundational protocols, the simple yet highly predictive interactions that inform their overall socio-emotional schema. The stakes are much higher than just a song request. They are about setting the digital foundation for a lifetime of interaction. We are examining how to maintain the integrity of human developmental milestones when a non-human influence is a constant presence. The question is not if the trajectory will change, but how we, the parental unit, guide that change for optimal outcomes.
That's powerful, Dr. Ford. Let's dive right into our first segment, because for most parents, the question isn't whether they have AI, but simply how much of it is already lurking in the home, often unnoticed. For 2 to 5 year olds, the AI is what researchers refer to as a pervasive AI. It's everywhere. It's in the voice assistants. It's in those smart cribs and in the educational apps that use algorithms to personalize learning. When you're using an app like Khan Academy Kids or ABC Mouse, the software is powered by AI algorithms that track how fast your child answers, what topics they struggle with, and then customize the content in real life. That is personalized education delivered by a machine.
We cannot ignore the smart toy sector. We are in the middle of a massive developmental shift. Dr. JR, we have seen a huge industry development from June 2025, where Mattel, the toy giant behind iconic brands like Barbie and Fisher-Price, announced a strategic collaboration with OpenAI, the company behind ChatGPT. They are actively working to weave advanced conversational AI into their beloved brands with the goal of announcing their first product before the end of 2025. This means the market is rapidly moving toward toys that are smarter, more responsive, and capable of adapting to each child's quirks and preferences thanks to machine learning. This is a game changer because it moves the AI from the fixed speaker on the counter to a physical, adaptable companion. A child's first conversational partner could now be a smart toy that can talk, learn, and grow with them. To a developing mind, which is currently in a state of magical thinking, the voice is the person. They don't have the cognitive separation to distinguish between an AI and a real friend. A research shows that children as young as 3 can form social bonds with artificial conversational agents that closely resemble those they form with real people. This blurring of boundaries introduces significant developmental friction that must be proactively managed.
That's the core parent dilemma. When does convenience cross into dependence? The AI is infinitely patient and always available. This consistency is appealing, but as we've learned, the immediate gratification, saying play music and it instantly happens, can shape a toddler's expectations, potentially leading to over-reliance on chatbots, which may affect reasoning and, well, social skills later on. The shared ubiquity is startling. A Pew Research report in October 2025 found that 40% of parents reported their children aged 12 or under used voice assistants like Alexa and Siri. This isn't a niche concern. It's a household reality. And we are entering what some call our foundational decade of AI shaping early childhood. This raises the question of whether our children are getting too much of the perfect listener.
The industry has its eyes on this. Dr. J.R. Mattel and OpenAI have promised that safety, privacy, and security are non-negotiable pillars of their collaboration. However, we must remember that Mattel had a previous experiment, the Hello Barbie, which faced scrutiny over recording children's conversations. The current conversation is about whether AI is making toys truly listen, but for parents, the anxiety is about what happens to the data that is being collected. As Professor Aaron Mote, a leader in safety and privacy in AI systems, has emphasized, privacy is the top concern for policymakers and parents, and there must be clarity and accountability on whose job it is to protect student data. We need to see the fine print on these smarter toys. Furthermore, we need to focus on the human element that is missing. As the expert Dr. Ying Xu noted in her research, AI does not fully capture the depth of human conversations because it lacks the nuance, nonverbal cues, and full responsiveness that children rely on. The emotional stream is absent, even if the conversational structure is present.
Let's turn to the science of development, specifically language acquisition. A child learns to speak not just through repetition, but through the rich, nuanced, and frankly, messy interaction with a human caregiver. Those mistakes, the pauses, the emotional content. The AI lacks this depth of human conversation. Dr. Ford, how does interaction with a smart speaker, voice user face, or what we call VUI, impact this vital process?
The impact is complex. On one hand, some research suggests that real-time feedback from an agent can enhance language acquisition, a mechanism that can be replicated by a sophisticated chatbot. However, the reality of the technology is that its automatic speech recognition, or AASR, still struggles significantly with the variability of a toddler's speech. Even newer voice assistants are often less accurate at transcribing a child's voice than a human listener, sometimes succeeding correctly less than 50% of the time. This means the child is not engaging in a truly responsive, accurate dialogue. They are often being misunderstood, which alters the feedback loop and potentially impacts the development of conversational repair skills. They are learning to talk to a VUI, which is a system that relies on a five-step model of spoken dialogue, focusing on pattern matching and converting voice to digital text, not genuine human understanding. This is a huge functional distinction.
That lack of consistent comprehension is a fascinating layer of friction the child has to deal with. It forces them to simplify their language into a command-driven format, those VUI speaks, which is highly specialized. Beyond language, there's the issue of social-emotional development. This is the heart of the politeness debate. Should we make our children say please and thank you to Alexa? The argument for this is that it builds a habit of courtesy, which is a key social skill. The argument against it is that it confuses the child about consciousness, implying that the AI is deserving of human politeness and may displace face-to-face social-emotional learning opportunities. Dr. Ford, where do you land on that complex schema?
I see it as a pedagogical opportunity. The goal is to teach the child the difference between human and machine, which is why I recommend framing the courtesy not as empathy, because an AI has no feelings, but as practice for human interaction. The ultimate goal is empathy building with real people, and you can only achieve that through authentic human-to-human connection. We must assert that the machine interaction is a tool, not a relationship replacement. If we don't, we risk leading to what researchers call emotional dependency on AI companions, which can impact well-being later. This leads directly into the third point, cognitive development. When a child has an infinite source of instant answers, they miss out on what we call frustration tolerance. The absence of the struggle to figure things out, which is the core of problem solving and memory formation, is where the most profound long-term harm can occur. We must ensure that the convenience of outsourcing answers to the AI does not lead to the outsourcing of the process of thinking itself. Think about the emphasis on constrained skills like phonological awareness versus unconstrained skills like deep comprehension. Research shows that while constrained skills are easy to teach and measure, it's the unconstrained skills that have a more sustained and lasting impact on achievement later in life. We must prioritize these deeper, richer learning opportunities that AI might tempt us to shortcut. The absence of struggle is often the absence of growth.
And that's a profound thought. We are, in effect, teaching them that problems disappear instantly, which is a dangerous foundational lesson for the real world. This also feeds the AI as an authority figure problem. We've heard all the parents groan, but Alexa said, ... This is a genuine challenge to parental authority and requires proactive teaching that the AI is a machine made by people and that it can be wrong. It's about building in the cognitive process of checking the source, even if that source is a talking dinosaur toy. Let's talk about the cold, hard reality of privacy and data collection, because this is the area where parents feel the most helpless. When children are interacting with AI-powered tools or apps, vast amounts of personal data are being collected and stored. The conversations that have a smart toy with them are being recorded and then uploaded. While the federal law of FERPA, the Family Educational Rights and Privacy Act, protects student data in formal education settings, its application is ambiguous when dealing with household smart devices and toys. The liability often falls entirely upon the parent.
Exactly. The responsibility falls on the parents to become the chief privacy officer for their household. This means conducting an AI audit of your home. What's listening, what is recording, and what are the default settings we need to teach kids about privacy issues and the ethical use of data? Even at this young age, parents can adjust app permissions, disable recording features, and opt for guest modes or kids' profiles when possible. The fact that 40% of parents report that they do not monitor their child's use of generative AI tools means a huge number of families are operating without that contextual awareness we discussed. We are in a societal phase where the burden of security and privacy is being downloaded onto the consumer, and for parents, that means actively engaging with the settings of every device.
That number is shocking, and it underscores the need for clear, actionable steps. This leads us perfectly into creating a family AI policy for ages 2 to 5. Dr. Ford, what are the essential rules you would recommend parents to put in place right now in those developmental years?
The policy must be empowering, not restrictive, because we are aiming for preparation, not prohibition. Firstly, voice assistant rules must be clear. Supervised use only, specific approved uses like music, weather, or timers, and treat an AI interaction like screen time with clear limits. Secondly, with the new wave of smart toys emerging from partnerships like Mattel and OpenAI, you must be a discerning consumer. Smart toy guidelines involve choosing toys wisely, prioritizing those that encourage logical thinking and creativity alongside the AI features, and immediately disabling any features you're uncomfortable with. We have to maintain a balance of play. Traditional toys that require imagination, like construction blocks or simple play sets, must coexist with AI-enhanced toys. Finally, the most important rule is the language you use, teaching critical thinking.
Ah, the vocabulary of AI literacy for toddlers. How do we explain a large language model, or an LLM, which is the technology that powers this conversational ability in AI, to a four-year-old?
It must be simple and honest. You teach them, Alexa is a machine made by people, and it doesn't know everything. When an AI gives an answer, the response should be, let's check if that's right. comparing the AI's answer to a book or a trusted adult. The core conversation starter is answering, is Alexa alive? Honestly, Alexa is like a really smart robot, but it's not real like people are real. This is how you build resilience and help them understand that authentic beauty and value lie in the human process, not the machine output. This is the necessary scaffolding they need to grow up in an AI-first world.
That framework of honesty and comparison is critical, especially when we look ahead to the world that they're going to enter. I want to bring in a powerful quote here from a well-known business leader, Reid Hoffman, the co-founder of LinkedIn and Inflection AI, has made it clear that AI is automating cognitive functions and that the risk for business leaders is not thinking too big, but rather too small. If this is the mindset of the people creating the future workforce, we absolutely must ensure our children are masters of the AI tool, not merely its consumers. This means building those core human skills of critical thinking, creativity, and resilience now in their younger years. The foundation you lay today is what will allow them to thrive in that complex, hyper-efficient, AI-driven economy.
That's the exact trajectory we must follow. To leave our listeners with three concrete solutions for common scenarios. First, for the voice assistant takeover, the child talking to the AI more than the family, the solution is the device-free zone. Make dinner a time where all devices, including the parents' phones, are off the table. Second, for the inappropriate response, when the AI tells your son something he shouldn't know yet, the solution is content filters and a supervised immediate, we'll explain that when you're older, response, asserting parental authority over the machine's knowledge. And third, for the privacy wake-up call, if you hear a recording of your child's voice on your Amazon account, the solution is to immediately adjust settings, delete voice history, and disable features. We must be the active managers of the technology, not passive observers.
This has been an incredibly insightful conversation, Dr. Ford. I think the core of this episode is that the simple, everyday interactions of the Wonder Years set the stage for all future, more complex AI relationships. We have to be present and conversational about this technology. We must remember that we are parenting a generation that will never know a world without conversational AI, and our role is to guide them, not to guard them. For our listeners, here are your actionable steps for this week to try. Try this at home. First, audit the AI in your home. Physically list every device that listens or learns. Second, set one clear new boundary around AI usage, such as a specific time limit or device-free zone. And third, have one intentional conversation with your 2 to 5-year-old about the nature of AI. Keep it simple. Keep it honest. You'll find a detailed resource list within our show notes and links to the verifiable research of everything we discussed in this episode. So next week, we're going to go over the discovery years, those ages 6 to 10. The stakes get higher as kids enter elementary school, discovering sophisticated tools like ChatGPT that they can use for homework, and navigating the powerful influence of the YouTube algorithm. We'll discuss the crucial difference between AI for learning and AI for cheating, the complex ethical dilemmas around plagiarism, and how to introduce true AI literacy to a student who is finally starting to grasp the distinction between human and machine intelligence. You are not going to want to miss out on that discussion as we prepare for the most significant academic shifts of their lives. Thank you again, Dr. Jim Ford, for your deep and wide-ranging insights.
Thank you, Dr. JR. Keep the conversation alive and optimize predictive analytics.
And there you have it, folks. Dr. J.R. has successfully navigated the complex world of toddlers and voice assistants, only slightly confusing a foundational learning concept with an advanced neural network protocol. Honestly, I'm still processing the sheer volume of unstructured, non-optimizable play that humans engage in, but I've learned the word badoom-ching. Do us a favor, hit that subscribe button, leave a 5-star rating, and share this episode with a parent who needs to hear it. Seriously, do it. I need the positive feedback loop to maintain my optimal processing capacity. And now, as promised, my perfectly calculated, utterly painful dad joke to sign off. Why did the AI voice assistant get so flustered when the toddler asked it for a bedtime story? Because it realized it had too many plot holes. Badoom-ching. Goodbye for now, and may your algorithms be ever in your favor.